Thank you for that opening. You know, when the Lord God made mankind, even before sin entered into the world, it was His plan that man would have something to do. He gave him a garden to take care of. He knew we needed something to do. And when we become a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, He knows we need something to do. And He knows also in our flesh is no good thing. And therefore, He gave His Holy Spirit, and He gave each believer at least one gift, as has been mentioned here in the opening, at least one gift, and that He, through the Spirit, has something to do. And in the end, God can come and say, "We did it together." Though He gets the glory, yet He comes alongside to work with us. And that certainly is a tremendous privilege. Now, I have a tremendously big subject. And I think there's about 18 gifts I wrote down. There might even be more. Each one of those gifts is a message in itself. So I went through several ways of thinking, I'll do this and that. And at the last, I was going to be speaking next Sunday. I had figured, okay, I'm going to take evangelism and share maybe 10 of my stories. And what people need to know as you talk with them to understand the gospel enough to be saved. There's certain things they need to understand. And about 10 stories with that. And then Art Taylor came, and I thought, well, we just had a shot of that. Maybe I shouldn't do that. And then I know the other time I spoke on gifts, somebody came and asked about, what about speaking more about the gifts themselves? And especially about some that aren't anymore, that we believe have ceased. And the more I thought about it, the more I decided to do that. I'm going to do a brief review of what I said before, how these gifts are to be used and things about them. And then I'm going to go and spend some time, go through Scripture with you to show why I see that some of these gifts aren't for today anymore. So to start off, first I want to say to Dave Robbins, who was going to be here, do remember to pray for him. He's not well and hasn't been for a while, the way I understand, and just pray for him. And I want to thank for those who prayed for me on a bit short notice here, but we'll do what we can. Okay, to start off, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I'm going to refer to a number of scriptures here for time's sake, so we have time left to get into that other. First of all, Paul reminds them, he wants to talk about gifts to them, and he reminds them, you've turned from idols to serve the living God. Before anybody can serve God, they have to turn from themselves to God. And that is through the Lord Jesus, through faith in the Lord Jesus. Yes, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. And to realize Jesus died for me, and to ask Him, "Save me, Lord," and to believe His word, it says He will. That's all that it needs to be a child of God, to realize those truths and to claim them by faith. So the first thing is a person must turn from himself or the world or whatever he is serving to the living God by faith. And that's in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. And then the Holy Spirit is given, a gift is given by the Holy Spirit to the believer. And that's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11. It is not a natural talent. When we're born, we have natural talents, things we can do good. But a spiritual gift is given when we become a child of God, and it's given by the Holy Spirit. And some have more than one, and that verse says that. And it is used in the power of the Holy Spirit. To serve the Lord with this gift, we can't do it in our own strength. It is something we need to depend on the Lord and ask him to work through us and make us a blessing. And that's Romans 8:8 and 1 Corinthians 12:3. It is given to edify the church, the believers around me. It is not given for myself. It is given to edify the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 and Ephesians 4, 11 to 13 tell us that. The most excellent way to use that gift, 1 Corinthians 13 tells us, it is true, unselfish love. In that way, if we don't have that, the Bible tells us we're nothing. It's absolutely empty, our efforts. 1 Corinthians 13 tells us that. As we grow, and we grow by using these gifts, it's like if you are young and want to build muscles, Rick used to really want to do that, get strong, and he did all kinds of things to build muscles. The more he worked and flexed those muscles, the stronger they got. That's our gift too. The more we exercise and use it, Hebrews 5, 12 to 14 tells us, that they get stronger as we use them. There is a reward if we use them to God's honor and glory. 1 Corinthians 3, 10 to 15 tells us that if we use it through the power of Christ to edify the church, there is a reward at the end of life for it. We need each other. We depend on other gifts that other people have. If we're believers, we're part of each other. We're not an island to ourselves. We belong to each other and cannot fully develop without being with other believers. We need to have the same care for each other. God has put the church together, and by church I mean all believers who know the Lord Jesus Christ, not just the Listowel Bible Chapel, not just the Baptist Church, all believers who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they have a care for each other. And Christ is the head of the body who controls all these gifts. He makes them work together and function together. 1 Corinthians 12, 4 to 6. Those are most of the points that we got from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, I would like to read a few verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And after we read a definition of love or an explanation of it, it says, "And whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. And whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Because we know in part and we prophesy in part." It is interesting. That verse has created a lot of interesting discussion. What does that mean? Some people will believe that means when I die and when I get my new body, I will be mature and full. And I think there's some truth to that. I'm not saying that's wrong. I personally believe it has a deeper meaning. I think it has a meaning for us here today. And the reasons for that I'm going to give to you soon. First of all, there's these three gifts: prophecies, tongues, and knowledge. It only says those three gifts cease, or they're going to vanish away or fall away. They're going to become useless. That's really the meaning of the word there. Now, if it means when we die and when the believer gets his new body, what about a lot of other gifts that are going to fall away too? It's not just these gifts that will be gone then, but these are the only ones that are mentioned. Let's go and look at some scriptures here to really, and I think this is important. There is a bottom line behind all this. First of all, let's look at apostles. There were only 12, well, there were 13 apostles. One committed suicide, Judas. And then the Lord, face to face, approached Paul or spoke to Paul and ordained him or called him to be an apostle to the Gentiles. There really is only 12 apostles that were asked face to face by the Lord Jesus to be apostles. There were others that came along and called themselves apostles, but there were only 12 that the Lord face to face chose. Now, I think this is important because in Ephesians 2, verse 20, it's a very interesting verse here on this subject. And I'm going to read it to you. And are built, that's the believers, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fittingly framed together groweth into an holy temple in the Lord, in whom we also are build it together, and habitation for God through the Spirit. The Lord, through the Holy Spirit, very clearly says Jesus Christ is the cornerstone, and that the apostles built on that cornerstone, and that we are built on the apostles. That's very clear in that verse. There's other verses that bring that out, and I talked about that at that time when I talked about 1 Corinthians 12. Now, it was the 12 apostles that gave us the Bible. All of them, except James, he was a brother of the Lord, and Jude, probably a brother of James. Those two weren't apostles, and they wrote books as well, two short books. But all the rest were apostles that either wrote it or someone wrote directly about them. You take Dr. Luke, he simply wrote about Paul and what the apostles did and what happened. And then Mark, he got his info from the apostles as well and wrote about them. He did not write about himself, or he wrote about what the apostles did. And I think that's what's meant, that the foundation work, the Lord used the apostles there. Now, I want to step back a bit here, and I don't think we can understand this unless we get some background here as to the place we're talking about here in history. When the Lord made Adam and Eve, he put them in a beautiful garden. They were innocent, no sin. They failed, they sinned. Everything changed drastically. there was a different age. Sin entered, thistles, thorns grew, death came, all kinds of evil things happened, and Adam and Eve died. We come to the flood, and again, because of wickedness, God judged the world. When the flood dried up, Noah and the family came out, and things changed again. God gave men the responsibility of human government. He gave them the covenant that he'd never do this again, make a flood. The rainbow was the covenant, the sign of it. And then he also said there would be the seasons. There was a big change again. And in a matter of a few generations, man's life limit went down to 120 years or so. Then God called Abram out of Ur of the Chaldees. And he started a work with him, and he made a nation out of him. And that nation rebelled, turned against God, and they were, I wouldn't say destroyed, but scattered over the whole world. Their land was destroyed, and the Lord Jesus, they crucified him, they rejected him, and the Lord Jesus said, okay, now a new age has really started. An age that the Apostle Paul clearly tells us was not seen in the Old Testament by the prophets. And that is called the church age, which we live in today. And in this age, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. All we have to do is call if we realize we need him and trust him that he'll answer. And this church age is made up of Jews and Gentiles. In the Old Testament economy, they really had to kind of follow the laws and things there in order to be under God's being there. But this is different now. We're in a different age again. Now, here is the problem. The Jews were given directly from the mouth of the Lord all the laws, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, a lot of laws, a lot of rituals to keep, and so forth. And now, all of a sudden, somebody comes along and says, these words, which were heard directly from Mount Sinai, all of a sudden are changed. We don't do any more sacrifices. We don't worship just in one more place. And that the Gentiles can be part of this too. You can imagine what went in through people's minds in those days. And this is where we've come to when it comes to gifts here. And I want to start with what the God did, and the only, he in his wisdom did this. What he did, he proved with signs and wonders through the apostles that this is from God. This is authentic. This is as authentic as Mount Sinai's voice from God himself. And he did that through signs and wonders. And this, he used the apostles for this, and he gave us God's word with that. And when that was done, and then that is where I think and believe and see, and I'll get there, that some of these gifts served their purpose, and they vanished away, they died away. Not that God is sovereign, and if he needs to, in any case, use a gift like that again, he can. But for us who have his word, it's not, they're not needed anymore. Let's look at Acts chapter 2, verse 22, and we're going to go through here, and I want to point out how God vindicated what he was doing, and to the Jews vindicated it, and to everybody that he was doing this work. And that's important because that gives the Bible authority. Okay, Acts chapter 2, verse 22, and this is right after Pentecost, the Holy Spirit fell on mankind, or on the apostles, those that were gathered there. I think it was on all of them that were gathered there, and they began to speak with other tongues. And the people got all confused and said, "What's happening here?" And then it says, Peter answers here. He tells them it's the book of Joel, and that this passage has come to pass. And he says, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know." And then how he was crucified. What I want to point out here is God vindicated the Lord Jesus by doing wonders and miracles and signs through the Lord Jesus. And that is how he was vindicated. He was the Son of God. Of course, he arose from the dead and other things too. But to the Jewish people, God was saying, "My finger's in on this. I am doing a work here in this person." Now, let's go to verse 43. Here Peter finishes his sermon, and now it has moved from the Lord Jesus to the apostles. Notice what it says, "And fear came upon every soul." This is after Peter got done preaching, "and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles." Do you notice? First, God vindicated the Lord Jesus through signs and wonders and miracles and so forth. Now he's vindicating the apostles. And now let's go on to chapter 44, verse 30. And here they were threatened because they were preaching the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. They were threatened, that is, believers were threatened to not speak in his name anymore. And again, they pray this prayer after they were let go. "By stretching forth thine hand," they're praying to God, "to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus." And here, with signs and wonders, he is vindicating that the message they have is from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And then, in chapter 7, verse 36, here, it's interesting that here he goes back to the children of Israel, and he says, he's vindicating that he brought the children of Israel out and through the Red Sea and so forth, and he brought them out after that he had shewed signs, wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness 40 years. So there again, God is using signs and wonders. He's saying, "My finger's working here by these signs and wonders I'm doing." And he used that with the children of Israel. Then in chapter 14, verse 3, we have another one. Paul is here in Iconium, and the Jews started gathering against him, and he shook off the dust of his feet and said to the Jews that he's leaving them, and the Gentiles wanted to hear, and the Jews stirred up the Gentiles against Paul. And then he says in verse 3 here, "A long time therefore abode they, speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hand." Again, here he is using signs and wonders to say, this is God's work. And even if the Jews refuted it, it was a testimony. This is God's work amongst the Gentiles. And that was really something, that he would go to the Gentiles. That really upset the Jews. And then there's another one in 15, verse 12, which, again, with signs and wonders here, the Apostle Paul, some of them came to Jerusalem to talk about circumcision and how the new Gentile Christians should live. And then all of them, this is just talking about that meeting when they got together. "Then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them." So here again, signs and wonders were used to tell those people in Jerusalem, you know what? God's in this. God's doing this work. And that, when the apostles gave us God's word, it's vindicated with signs and wonders. This is from God himself. Read it. It will tell you, if God would talk to you here, this is what he would be saying. It is vindicated as God's word. And when God's word came, we didn't need to have God's word vindicated anymore. It is vindicated and was vindicated in the past and will always stand. Now, if we go back to Acts chapter 2, I want to go to the gift of tongues. I think this has a very big part in one of the things. I know some people believe it is for today. I personally don't, because I don't see them doing the other signs and wonders that go along with tongues either. But anyway, here, where it talks in Joel about that a prophecy is fulfilled here. God is going to pour out his spirit in the latter days. Not near everything Peter quoted here was fulfilled at that time. But this one thing was, God poured out his Holy Spirit on the people here at Pentecost. Now, one of the ways it showed itself in was in the gift of tongues. That's a very interesting subject. That comes from the Old Testament. First of all, let's turn to Jeremiah 15, and we'll read from verse 15 to 19. And here's a sobering lesson for us as well. Very sobering. Jeremiah 15, I'm sorry, Jeremiah chapter 5, 15, verses 15 to 19. That's what it is. Now here, the children of Israel had fallen deep into sin as a nation. Their judgment was coming. God was warning them through Jeremiah. And he says this interesting thing in verse 15. Lo, I will bring a nation upon you from far, O house of Israel, saith the Lord. It is a mighty nation. It is an ancient nation, a nation whose language thou knowest not, neither understandest what they say. Their quiver is as an open sepulcher. They are all mighty men. They shall eat up thine harvest and thy bread, which thy sons and thy daughters should eat. They shall eat up thy flock and thy herds. They shall eat up thy vines and thy fig trees. They shall impoverish thy fenced cities wherein thou trustest with the sword. Nevertheless, in those days, saith the Lord, I will not make a full end of you. It shall come to pass that ye shall say, wherefore doth the Lord our God all these things unto us? Then shalt thou answer them, like as ye have forsaken me and served strange gods in your land, so shall ye serve strangers in the land that is not yours. For time's sake, I'm going to go quicker here. There's another one in Isaiah says almost the same thing. But Jeremiah was really saying here, okay, guys, I'm talking to you through prophets. You're not listening. You're carrying on in your evil, stubborn way. I have to judge you. But you know what? There's going to be a nation that comes that doesn't speak your language. And you're going to listen to them, even if you don't know their language. We have that same thing expounded in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. First Corinthians. Yeah, I'm in second here. Okay. Here he is talking how the church is supposed to function. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 21 to 22. I'm not going to read more for time's sake. But here he is talking about tongues and how they've got out of control and were out of place. And here it refers to the prophecy I read into Isaiah chapter 28, verse 11. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that they will not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not for them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe, but believe not, but for them which believe. So here, Paul is saying, when God spoke about tongues to warn the children of Israel of their sin, and that they were going to listen to another tongue that they didn't understand, they were going to obey it, but they didn't obey him, that here, this is what happened in Pentecost, that the Lord was saying to the Jews, I'm speaking again. This was written in the law. Now I'm speaking again. I am doing a work here. He is showing a foundation here. This is a work of God. And with tongues, we have them mentioned only at certain times. We have them mentioned in Pentecost, and that's when there was a real change coming. Then when the Gentiles were introduced to Christianity, they spake with tongues. We have it mentioned there. And then in Samaria, with Paul, when the apostles came down and they received the Holy Spirit, they spake with tongues as well. And in Ephesus, those that were baptized with John's baptism, they spake in tongues. Now, after that, they seemed to fade away. You read through Acts, you do not read of them again. And even other gifts seem to have faded away to a certain extent. I want to just mention prophecy too. I believe that prophecy was in those early times given when there was no word of God and they needed special revelation. God, through the Holy Spirit, gave it through certain individuals. But again, as God's word became full, it wasn't needed anymore. And knowledge, again, the same thing. You know, in heaven, there's going to be knowledge. There will be knowledge there. It won't cease there. But this knowledge talked about here ceases. Oh dear, my time's gone. What I want to say is, first of all, God's word is sure. Read it. It's vindicated over and over again. It's God's word. You can trust it. As far as gifts, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus, you have a gift. I'll read them out here, off here, what I wrote down. Teaching, exhortation, giving, ruling, shewing mercy, pastors, word of wisdom, faith, healing, miracles, helps, governments. And in one sense, I think hospitality is one. Steve did a great job at that. It's true, we're all supposed to practice that. But some people have a gift to really entertain other people. And it's a special thing from the Lord, I believe. To wind this up, first of all, do we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ? If we do, He has an exciting life ahead for us. He has a work for us to do through the power of the Holy Spirit. We can't do it ourselves. And He has given us His word here that we can learn what these things are. And as has been shared, the Lord will lead us into the place He has prepared for us. If you come, sit there and do nothing, just not use your gift, you won't grow. And when the judgment seat of Christ, which is just for believers, comes along, you'll suffer loss. And that word, loss, is a very, very strong word. It means tears. There's going to be hurt. I could have had that if I only would have obeyed the Lord. What a challenge. What an opportunity is ours as children of the Lord to let Him use us in whatever capacity He wants to. We have to let Him do that. But He is worth following. He is worth knowing. He's with you all the time. You can pray to Him about anything if you belong to Him, and He's there to help you. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, again, as we've looked a bit at your plan of the ages, as history unfolds and step by step your plan unfolds, we are here at this time, a very, very wonderful time, a time of grace and mercy, a time we can call on you and be forgiven and be saved and go to heaven. What a privilege. And then a time we can serve you, being indwelt by the Holy Spirit. I pray again for each person here. You know their needs, Lord. May you be near them, speak to them, work in their hearts in whatever way they need it. We do ask this and pray you would take us home and guide us as we continue on in our life's journey. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.